Accession number 30629, squadron leader Gordon Henderson, Real 8. Now, so what did you do with the squadron when it was yours to play with, if you see what I mean? Ah, that's
well, in Klagenfurt, it wasn't long before this Wing Commander Lorry was appointed.
Is that L-A-W?
L-A-U-R-I-E.
Now, what was he like?
Short.
Did he come in to command the squadron?
Yes, he did. Yes. I think they... Because up till then, I think, the squadron in the main had a wing commander as its CO. And then it went down to squadron leader with McCandlish. And I suppose they thought, well, it's a TACAR squadron, they ought to have a wing commander. And Lorry came from headquarters. He hadn't been... operational for a long time, and in fact I don't know what ops he ever did, Wing Commander Lorry, but he presumably had done some.
Do you know his first name, or
W?
And what was he like? I mean,
we got on with him quite well, but he
was different. In what way?
Well, I don't think he'd done ops, and I don't think he... I don't think he appreciated the amount of flying and the amount of operational stuff some of the squadron had done. He was very much an admin man. He'd been admin, as far as I know, at headquarters somewhere, at Wing. At Wing headquarters, yeah. He was all right. It took a while to get used to him. And he wasn't with us all that long. He was at Klagenfurt. I've got pictures of him helping to clear the snow off the runway. He was all right, but different from McCandlish, and different from George Moore and the other pilots who'd been on the squadron and done a tour with the squadron. He wasn't really into TACAR.
So what were you doing with it in that period then?
Well, up at Klagenfurt again, it was not exactly joyriding, but it was just keeping your flying hours up.
Now, was there a problem with the weather? You mentioned cleaning
well,
the runway.
Well, the weather was... we had heavy snow that winter. We couldn't fly for quite a long time because of the weather. And then we had a memo from Wing, who were at Zeltweg, 324 Wing, to say, what the hell are you doing, no flying? Why are you not recording any flying hours? So we said, well, there's snow on the runway, we can't fly. So they said, well, bloody well clear it. So the next day we were all out there with shovels, including Wing Commander Lorry, clearing the runway so we could start flying again.
324 was your wing?
324 was the wing then. 285 had been the original wing in North Africa and the beginning in Italy. That was a sort of TACAR wing, 285. 324 was a fighter wing, and they were up at Zeltweg, 43 squadrons, I think they were. Yes, they were. They were at Zeltweg, and they were really, by at that stage, they were in charge of us. As an independent unit at Klagenfurt.
Now, anything happening while you were there?
Well, that's when I had a prang, yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, it was round about the time when we were clearing the snow, and the following day we were ready to fly. The airfield was fit to fly, so I decided it was time we had a squadron formation flight. So... it was all organised, everyone were told what position they were going to be and so on. And I let it out, going along the taxi track. And foolishly, the air traffic control was way over to my right. And I was talking to them, telling them that we were all about to take off and had we got clearance and all the rest of it. And I wasn't looking where I was going. And I... slid. It was a bit icy on the taxi track, a bit, nothing much really, and I slid off and ran into a communications aircraft belonging to a communications squadron, which was not much fun. I damaged him, I damaged my wing, and that meant the whole formation flight was off. Unfortunately. And it was all my fault. And I had to ring Wing and tell them that we'd had an accident. And so they said, well, who the hell was it this time? I said, well, actually, it was me. Oh, said Wing Commander Cassidy, Hopalong Cassidy. He was Wing Commander at Zelfeg. And I heard no more about it. But I have pictures of it. And it doesn't look as though there's any ice on the taxi track at all. It was finger trouble on my part. I was looking at control tower while I was talking to them, instead of looking ahead.
Did your colleagues find it amusing?
Yes, extremely. And they've found it amusing ever since. Because, of course, they all knew damn well there wasn't any ice on the taxi track. But I got away with it. I heard no more about it.
Any other stories of things
like
that?
We did have a series of minor accidents, overshooting and low flying. And we got quite a few rockets from Wing. And we were told that our accident rate was higher than it should be. And for God's sake, be more careful. And the next one who had an accident would be in real trouble, that sort of thing.
And had you been passing on these rockets?
Oh, yes, yeah. I had a pilot's meeting and told them that we'd had this memo from Wing, and we'd all better be jolly careful.
And then you were the next accident.
Yeah. I then had to report the next accident. It was me.
What about, were you back being squadron commander then?
Yes.
You'd return to that rank?
Laurie was still there at that stage, yes. But he wasn't there at the time that I had that accident. No, he must have gone. He'd been posted. He wasn't with the squadron for very long and went back to headquarters at
now,
Wing.
What would you say your role as squadron commander was? Well, you know, squadron leader.
Well, then, just making sure everyone kept up in their flying hours and was still proficient, did various formation flights with them, with different people, formation flights, flying with them on a navigational exercise. You know, you'd set out a course or a route, a navigation trip for people to follow, and you'd go up to Graz and you'd go across to Zelfeg and you'd come back down, or you'd fly over the mountains down to Italy, to Udine and back. Navigation trips, just keeping their flying hours up at that stage.
Now, what about, how did you get on with Wing Commander Cassidy overall?
With Cassidy? Oh, with Zelfeg? 324, we went up to Zelfeg three or four times and had parties up there. You know, they would throw a party, Zelfeg, the Wing, and we'd be invited, so I'd go up with my two flight commanders. And we got on well with Wing, really.
So, and Cassidy himself?
Cassidy, Hopalong Cassidy, yes. He'd been a B of B pilot, so he was well known, Cassidy.
And what was he like?
Lovely fellow. Short, dark haired. Nice. Got on with him.
Not too overbearing then.
No,
he didn't lean on you.
No, absolutely not. He was a pilot's pilot.
Now, what about this local business of these leave hotels that Tausig was running? What do you remember?
Well,
about?
Now that was later on.
Still later again. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, not much later, but the Air Force then wanted to set up various rest camps or relaxation where people could go for a weekend or a week for a bit of relaxation, R&R. And of course, they needed someone to run the local hotels. So Kurt took over a hotel in Cortina and was sort of drafted away from the squadron and ran the hotel. Then he ran one at Grado, just outside Venice, which we all used. And he was more or less detached from the squadron for, well, several months.
And he seems to have done a good job.
He did. He fell into it, and it's the sort of job that he's a very methodical character, is Kurt, and a great organiser. And he went up, took up this hotel, and just got local staff and ran the place.
Now, what's the next thing you remember then?
Well, I went to Grado when he was running Grado. Then at Klagenfurt, we got mixed up with the local ATS girls, and I married one, of course. I met one at a party. Six or seven of them were not in the local ATS barracks because there wasn't room for them, so they were on their own in a house in Klagenfurt. And when they were told they'd got to go back to the barracks and give up this house, they threw a party, and they invited two officers from all the units round about, the army units and the RAF unit. We were the RAF unit. So they invited myself and two officers to a party, and that's where I met Margaret. And married her in the end.
No, Kurt has a story about the marriage itself, or rather the catering.
Oh, yeah,
marriage,
oh, yes.
Which seemed quite amusing from the
outside. Well,
what do you remember
Kurt
of
was in charge of the catering side. We had an Austrian cook. That's where I caught a thing called papular urticaria. And it was because the cook cooked all his chips in the same fat time after time, and I was allergic. And I used to wake up in the morning with a huge rash all over me, on my face and on my arms. And the squadron doctor then was a David Gange, who in fact had been an old Dovorian. I went to Dover College, and it turned out that he'd been to Dover. So I was quite chummy with him. So, of course, I went to see him, and he said, well, you've got this thing, papular urticaria, you're allergic to something, what have you been eating a lot of? And I said, well, just the mess food, nothing unusual. So he looked into it and discovered that it was the fat that the cook was using in the cooking. So once he changed the fat every time, my papular urticaria disappeared.
Now you were going to tell a story about...
And then, of course, in 46, when I married Margaret on the 1st of June, 46, and Kurt was in charge of the wedding catering. So he took a truck down to Italy. God knows where he went to get all the food. It was obviously back market, I should think. And on the way back, had an accident and virtually lost all the food, or at least didn't lose it all, but it was all sort of thrown all over the place, and he had to reorganise himself and reorganise the catering, which he did very well. The catering was jolly good on the day, in fact.
And when were you married?
This was June 46.
So that's quite a bit later.
Yeah.
Anything happened? So you were still at Klagenfurt then?
Yes, I got married at the local... Well, we got married at the chapel, the squadron, not the squadron padre, but the local padre, Padre Mola.
Now, anything else happening? Any other stories? Just give us an idea of what life was like.
We were down, what's the lake there outside Klagenfurt? Velden. Velden's a famous area with a big hotel at one end. Which the army used as a rest and relaxation place. And we spent quite a lot of time swimming in the lake when the weather was decent in 46.
Any other recreations? Anything?
No, not really. I was on the squadron sort of...
You didn't go riding or shooting or mountaineering or skiing or anything?
Oh, I did a little bit of mountain climbing. Went up the Three Sisters at Sesto, with a party of us, with a couple of Austrian girls and two or three pilots. We climbed a couple of mountains, nothing too desperate.
So what next then? What's the next thing you
remember? Well, after that, after I'd got married, then we were back down in Italy.
When did you move to Italy?
We went back down to Udine, I think. Where are we? Oh, well, let's see. Klagenfurt, Tisano. We were then under 239 wing. June.
So you were back to Tisano.
June the 14th. We left Klagenfurt. We were at Klagenfurt from October the 10th to June the 14th, 46. Then we went down to Tisano, to the same place we'd been before, virtually, from June the 14th to July the 6th.
Now, what was it like back at Tisano? Was it much
the
same?
It was just as it had been before. But by then, I was married, so I lived in half the squire's house, married quarters.
What were the married quarters? They sound like good married quarters.
Yeah, it was a good married quarter, yes. It was half his house. Which meant I was away from the squadron, from the point of living on the squadron. I was living with Margaret, of course, and going into the squadron every day.
No change to duties then. Kurt mentioned a role photographing over Italy just to record the reconstruction progress.
Well,
do you remember that? Or
well, we took a lot of, but it was really just happy snapping. I mean, I got pictures of Rome and Milan and all the little towns. Really just keeping your hand in with photography.
So it wasn't so much to chart the reconstruction?
No. Not as far as I was concerned, and I don't think that's... The object of the exercise wasn't that, I don't think. It was just to keep ourselves capable of photographing.
Any other things you recall? Now, was this when you went on leave with Kurt? Because that was a nice story. I mean, because he says that you picked up that he wasn't taking his leave, and so you, which obviously he had nowhere to go.
This was much later.
Still later. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Kurt came to stay with us, I remember when we were living at Northolt, but that was much later. That was sort of 47, 48.
When
he came back.
I meant because you went on leave with him. I thought.
Not that I recall. You went on Leap.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Too much.
Wait a minute. Yes, because we missed. Yes, because his brother got pissed at home. Yes, that's right. He must have come on Leap with me.
Doesn't matter too, if you don't remember too. Now, what's the next?
Well,
thing
I remember. I remember him being at home at Clapham. With yes, he stayed. Yes, he did. He came back with me and was with me on leave. Because we then met up with his brother. His brother came one evening to the house and drank too much. That's right. Yes, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
Because Kurt had nowhere to go, you see, on leave, really. If he'd gone up to Barrow, he'd have been there on his on his own. And I don't know whether Miss, whatever her name was still around. No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Good Lord, I'd forgotten that.
Now, so what do you remember at Tisano? You weren't there long. You were there about a month.
When we came back?
No, you said you.
Oh yes, June to July. What were we doing? 1946. 44, 45. 46. Klagenfurt, Vienna. Oh, on the 1st of April, which is the RAF's birthday, from Klagenfurt, we were invited to the Schönbrunn Palace, the CO and two officers. So I took my two flight commanders, Hill Venning and Charlie Harmon. We took three Spitfires, and we flew from Klagenfurt to Vienna, which, of course, in those days was controlled by the Russians. So we had to be very careful. of the route to Vienna and not stray into Russian territory. But the Russians were in charge of the airfield at Vienna, but of course they allowed all the flights in for this party. And it was the RAF's anniversary. Yes, Vienna, Klagenfurt. Yeah, that's right.
Now, so what next then? You're at Tisano, and then you're going to move.
We were back down at Tisano, and we just various. Again, we were doing just flying around, keeping in practice. That was when we had this address rehearsal for the Desert Air Force flypast. That was April 46. So we flew Tisano to Klagenfurt, Klagenfurt Tisano. Supply dropping at Rivolto. What the hell did that mean? Oh, that was the flypast.
Right.
That was April the 26th.
Well, right, so we did that, but
yes,
it's a bit
the
early.
Fly past, no, yeah.
Doesn't matter too much. Anything else? Why did you move, it seems, in July?
Why did we move? Where did we move to? Let's see. Campo Formido, wasn't it?
So, back.
Yes, Campo Formido then, we went, which was, again, in Italy, a much bigger airfield.
That was July 46.
That was July. July to December of 46, which is when I left. That we were on Campo Formido then.
And what were you doing there? Same again. So, yeah, I don't want, you know, I'm not...
No, nothing exciting. Just keeping a formation flying and the odd photographic mission that you just set up and told them to do. Navigational exercises, that sort of thing. Just keeping people flying.
Any stories you remember from that time?
From that area, we had a couple of days trips down to Trieste, which was a nice city. We were generally sort of just enjoying life. Yeah, trips down to Venice and trips to Trieste, stay overnight, took a 1500 weight truck with six of us, would go down to Trieste and stay at the local RAF hostel, as it were, the sort of place that Kurt had been running. And not very much flying, as far as I can see. 1946, June, I only did about 4 hours flying.
That's just before you went to Campo Formido.
That's right, yeah.
And then there it's just routine flights.
Yeah. Attack-R, I would take up the new pilots. A lot of new pilots came to us then, flying off some Boeing and Page, and I would take them up flying, doing a bit of formation with them and showing them what TACRs were, because they weren't operational. Formation flying, six aircraft, low-level cross-country. I did 12 hours flying in September, and I was withdrawn from flying duties on the 1st of December, 46.
Did you stay with the...
A fellow called Jack Stonier, who was a flight lieutenant, was one of my flight commanders. He then took over the squadron until the squadron was disbanded.
So you left the unit in December.
I left the unit December 46.
What was your reaction to leaving them? I mean, they'd been your home for a long time by then.
Yeah, well, I think by then the stage had come where the Air Ministry were beginning to reduce the personnel altogether, and I'd been out there all that time, and they thought it was about time I packed it in.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, I was quite happy to be going home. By then, Margaret was already back home. She lived in outside Newcastle, and I hadn't seen her for a month or two. So, of course, I was quite pleased to go back.
Now, what happened when you got anything about the journey back, or did you fly back?
Well, I had an interview with some wing commander who tried to persuade me to stay on. He said, you're a squadron leader, you've got all this flying experience, what the hell are you leaving the service for?
Now, why didn't you stay? Because you could have done.
I could have stayed. By then, I think the old man and the old mama were wanting me back home, and the old man said, well, you can join my business, you know, Keith and Henderson, Woolen Merchants. You can always come and join us and see how things go. So I decided it was about time I left the service.
Now, how does that happen then? What's the situation? You come back or what? How did you get back to England?
Oh, we came back by train, Milan, and back to Calais, Victoria, with all my goods and chattels.
And
all my wedding presents, and half of them got bloody well pinched at Southampton. I sent back 4 cases of my gear, plus all the wedding presents I'd got, of course, on marriage. 2 of the boxes disappeared, and I never saw them again. And those 2 boxes had the wedding presents in, which was rather unfortunate, to say the least of it.
So, what about your demob? Where did that take place? What was?
Well, where was I demobbed, I wonder? Proceeded to the UK on release.
That's December.
That's the 4th of December, and I was a civilian on the 12th of December.
Do you remember what the process was? Or?
No, I just went and collected my grey suit.
What was it like? People well, always joke about it. Was it any good? Or?
Well, it was just a grey flannel suit. You had a choice. It was a 2-piece job, no whisket. I think you had a choice of suits. You must have done. I don't really remember. I finished up with a grey flannel suit anyway.
What we do now is get you back into civilian life, and then we just pick up on when you were mobilised once more. And so,
I joined the VR.
What about getting you into civilian life? So, what did you do for a career? Did you go into your family?
I went into the old man's business, a woolen merchant, in the West End, Golden Square. The firm was called Keith and Henderson, and he was the Henderson.
And were you actually doing?
Well, I joined on the grounds that I would go from department to department learning the business. And I did that for a year, and I wasn't very enthusiastic, I wasn't very keen. So after a year, I told the old man that I didn't think this was for me. I asked if I could go up to play somewhere like Bradford and Leeds, which is where the cloth was made. You know, suit materials, so I could learn how the business started and all the rest of it. And they said, oh no, we've got chaps who've been here for ages all waiting their turn to do that. You just stay with, have another year swanning around the department to department, which was pretty not much fun. So I started to look for another job. And went into insurance.
Now, what was your career? Was that to be your career?
Yes.
And what were you?
Well, I was what they call, the life companies call an inspector. You go round to accountants and banks and solicitors and trying to drum up business for the Scottish Amicable.